Today she is Masech Techul and Daf Tazayin. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbaruch and Daf Tazayin Amun Aleph on the second line Amun Mar. We learned in the Brisa yesterday, Hashoichet B'muchni. If somebody shechs with a type of a mechanical pulley system where you cause that whatever will cut the neck of the animal will be operated by you causing it to move. The locha is shchitasuk shera. The Brisa says the shchita is a valid shchita. Ask the Gemara, Tanya, have we not learned in a different Brisa that shchitasuk psula, that it's disqualified? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. The way to reconcile this is ha besar de pachra. That's a pulley system, a wheel system that works based on human energy. You're causing it to move. Ha besarna de maya, if the way it works is that there's energy of water causing it to move and just pushing up whatever is blocking the water from making it move, is not considered that you did the act of shchita. It was the water that did the act of shchita. And the Gemara is teaching us that in order for it to be considered a valid shchita, it has to be done in a fashion where you are causing the shchita to happen, not that it's happening because of an outside force causing it to happen. And according to this explanation, it doesn't make a difference. The Gemara is teaching us that when you use a sand of the pachra, when it's coming because of your energy, then it's always considered your act of shchita. And when it's a sand of the mayim, then the halacha will be that it's not directly because of you that this shchita is happening. And since it's not because of you that the shchita is happening, it will not be considered a valid shchita. That's the way the Rashba explains the Gemara. Rabbeinu Yoina, however, explains the Gemara. It only will be, even by this version, only Saran the Pachra, the first energy, which is directly because of you, will be considered your act of shchita, otherwise not. The Tfuah Shor says that he believes that the Rashba's opinion is correct, because if there would be a difference, if it's the difference between the first or the second, then the Gemara should have made that distinction. The fact that the Gemara did not make such a distinction is an indication that at this teretz, the Gemara's opinion is that by Sarnad the Pachra it's always good, and by Sarnad the Maya it's always going to be not a good shchita. And the Magen Avraham says the same, and the Magen Avraham applies this to halacha in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Simen Kuf Nun Tes Sif Yud. The Magen Avraham is a Sif Katan Chaf Aleph regarding the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim, that if you pour over a barrel with water and the water is pouring out from it, then the water that's pouring out of that barrel constantly is considered that you cause the water to come out. He says that it's different than a faucet, because a faucet that you keep on putting your hand back and forth is not the same as something that you caused the water to pour out. B'boy Saima, and then the Gemara suggests, and the partial pshat way to learn the Gemara is, that a sarna, the pachra, will always be a valid shchita. And here the question is by a sarna de maya. And the difference is, for loikasha, ha b'koyach rishon, the first amount that goes out will be considered, even by a sarna de maya, a valid shchita. B'koyach sheni, anything that comes out afterwards will not be considered a valid shchita. Because what came out with the first exposure of water is something that came out because of you. but it came out the second is already not a result of your direct action. The Rashba says that according to this, it's not to change that even though we're saying that it's Sarah the Pachra is always acceptable, it doesn't mean that it's Lechatchila. Even when we're learning now that Sarah the Pachra is acceptable under all circumstances, it's only going to be by the first, it's always going to be only Bidi Evid. The Chasam Sofer explains what is the machloikis, what is the basis of the machloikis of the two Terutzim of the Gemara. He says, what is it meant, he says, when you're picking up whatever is blocking the water from causing this to turn, and now you pick it up. Is that considered only something that you're just removing an obstacle? And removing an obstacle is not, according to the first Teretz, considered a valid way of doing shechita because of your act? Or is it considered something that you actually did? And therefore, if it's koich rishon, that will then it will be a good shechita. But Rashi adds another very important dimension. And Rashi adds that if that the machine, that when you pick up the water and it causes the machine to slaughter the animal, it has to be that it happens immediately. Rashi says, if there's any delay, then that's really not considered that it was your act that that caused the shechita. Many suggest that that is part of the halachic discussion, if that's considered only a grumma. If what you did not happen to do, did not happen only later, then happen immediately, some suggest that that's considered grumma, and since that's not therefore considered your act of shechita. There's also a discussion in the Maram Shik, where the Gemara clearly is telling us that if it's done with a sarna, the maya, it's not a good shechita, certainly because sheni of a sarna, the maya. The Maram Shik discusses, is that considered that it's not a good shechita midraisa, or is that considered an invalid shechita only midrabanan? And it really touches on the question that we just discussed from the Chasam Sofer. Because the question is, how does the halacha look at a situation where I caused the water to come? Is that considered my act or not? If you consider it that it just stopped the water, I just let the water come, it's not my act, it would be invalid midraisa. Otherwise, it's only invalid midrabanan. Says the Gemara, v'kihadam rapapa, we have a similar psak that was offered by rapapa, that hayman dekafs lechavre, if somebody tied up somebody else, and the Rashash points out that even though the Gemara is speaking about a case where I tied up that individual, but the same halacha is going to be applicable if there was a person already tied up, not because of me. Because when we're going to be discussing in our Gemara, if because of what I did, this person got hurt or died, it's not the tying up that caused that to happen. It's the water that caused that to happen. And therefore, Hayman, the Kafsil Chavri, if there's an individual was tied up, Vashkala Bitkad Mayim, and this person picked up a dam, and the water rushed out, and that's how the person got killed or missed. Chayiv is chayiv for that misa, my tama, because giri the day who the hanibe. It's my direct act that caused them to die. However, again, says the Gemara Hani Mili B'Koyach Rishon, this halacha will be only in a case where it was the Koyach Rishon. And the way we're learning, Koyach Rishon means has two parts to understanding it, two aspects. One is that it was the first water that came out, and it also had to be that the nifter was right, that this victim was right there. Of a koyach sheni, when it's a koyach sheni, it's only considered grumma b'alma. It's considered a grumma b'alma. And as I said, most rishonim, Rashi, of the opinion the water has to be close by. The Yad Ramah disagrees. Says my Yosef Rav Achoy Rav Chia, Rav was sitting behind Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya kamed Rebbe. Rav Chiya was sitting in front of Rebbe. V'yasa Rebbe come on. Rebbe was giving a shir. And he said, Menayin l'shchita shibatolish. And the question that was being posed was, for where do we know that shchita has to be done only with something which is detached, not anything that's attached? Says the Gemara, Shenemar, because the Pasuk says by Avram Avinu, V'yikach es mechelos l'shchit. And Tysus explains, we learn it from the word v'yikach, and doesn't say v'yochin. So we see that the word v'yikach is coming to teach us it was something that could be moved, not something that that is attached. The Rishash says that we really learn it from the words of the pasuk v'yikach b'yadayas ha'esh es machelos v'yelechu, and there we certainly are speaking about something that was detached, a yelechu, they walked with it. The Tferes Yaakov says, the way to understand the Gemara, because the Pasuk should have just said, V'yishlach Avram es yodoy el mechelos lishchos benoy. What does the Torah say, v'yikach? To teach us that it has to be something that's v'yikach, that could be moved. Amalei Rav L'Rav Chiya, my Kamar, he says, how do you learn from this pasuk that we could only use a movable item for shchita? So said Rav Chiya, Vav deksiva ofsukamar. He said, just like if you write the letter Vav, if you just like you write the letter Vav on a piece of wood, says the Gemara that when you write a piece of Vav on a piece of wood, it's not going to come out clear. What he was trying to express here was that this explanation that he offered is not really a good explanation, says the Marva Krakama, but he was quoting a pasuk. Isn't the pasuk very indicative that it means that he used something that was movable? And says the Gemara, this pasuk is not really a raya, because the pasuk is teaching us Zerizosoi Avram K'mashman. The Torah is trying to teach us how Avram was so anxious to do this halacha. Some say that what it was meant when it says vav that's written on a piece of wood, on a cracked piece of wood, because it would split. What it means to say is that the Torah may be differentiating between the shechita that's done for kachim, which we learned many times, the halach is that shechita that's done for kashim has to be done with a klisharis, and therefore there are specific rules about which klisharis are acceptable, versus our Gemara speaking about shechita fechulin. When we speak about shechita fechulin, it won't necessarily mean that you have to use a keli. The Chasam Sofer actually asks what Rishash said is pshat in the Gemara. The Chasam Sofer asked, why don't we learn from the pasuk v'yikach b'yadayas ha'esh v'smachelos v'yelchu, that there it clearly indicates that it was a knife that was movable. So he says that the point that the Gemara is teaching from is from the pasuk v'yishlach yodai. And v'yishlach yodai is not mentioned in that pasuk. Another point that the Rosh Yosef makes, it says the Torah says lishchait es benoy. What does the Torah say lishchait es benoy? We all know that Yitzchak was Avram Avinu's son, but what the Torah is trying to teach us is that he's not being called lishchait es ha'oila, because if, as we just said, the Torah would have said lishchait es ha'oila, we would say that this halacha only applies by a carbon. The fact that the Torah goes out of the way to say lishchad is benoy, so we see it applies to all shchitas. The tzlach discusses where the pasuk says v'lekachtum lechem regarding the dal minim that are taken on sukkahs, and from here we learn that we can yoytz the mitzvah dal minim even with something that's connected to the ground. That's already fulfillment of v'lekachtum. The Marsham, however, says that from our Gemara, we see that when the Torah uses the word v'yikach, It's being explained to mean it's something that's movable. And therefore, the dalaminim, which are still connected to the ground, are not considered that you fulfill the mitzvah, because not v'yikach. The Torah says that we have to do something that's v'lekachtem. The Michas Pitim, however, says that that halach is it has to be detached. The Rishash says that the pasuk says v'yikach biyodes ha'esh v'smechels v'yechlo shneim yachtov. So isn't this clearly an indication that it was moved? So he says that the pasuk says the masham that the pasuk says it means dover hanikach miyad liyad. You shecht with something that is transferable from one person to the next, but doesn't necessarily mean it was detached. But then I saw a beautiful vort from the sefer. Lekker Agershuni. He says, the pasuk says, Kra Zirusosei Davram Kamashmon. So he explains, based on a vort from the Chassam Sofer, that the Chassam Sofer says that we know, Kim Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu fulfilled Kol HaTorah Kula. How did he know what to do? The answer is that the way he knew what to do is that his body was so attuned to Kedusha that his body on its own was moved according to what the Torah wants should happen. What happened over here is Avram Avinu was about to kill his son. But as we know, that was not really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to happen. So because it wasn't exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to happen, so even though normally Avram Avinu body, when the Gemara says Zerisusay to Avram Avinu, the Zerizus of Avram Avinu, what it means to say is that Avram Avinu's body by itself had such incredible Zerizus to do the Dvar Hashem. But over here, Avram Avinu found something most interesting. His hand did not easily go to Shecht Yitzchak Avinu. And the reason that was the case, because as we know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not really want that Yitzchak should be killed. That's why the pasuk says, V'yikach, he had to exert himself. V'yikach yodai, he had to exert his hand to kill Yitzchak. It wasn't something that came easily because it wasn't really what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. That's why it says that's why the pasuk uses that type of language to describe what happened here. Amar Rava Pshitali says, Rava, to me it's obvious Talosh L'Psayf Chibra. You have something that was originally detached and then it was attached. As far as Avodah Zarah's Kechavim is concerned, the halach is, the pasuk says, as we're going to see, Aleihem Alaharim, V'Layaharim Aleihem, that only something that is detached can become Avodah Zarah. A piece of ground, a mountain, cannot become Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if you have something that was originally detached and then attached, as far as Avodah Zarah is concerned, Havah Katolish, it's considered like something that's detached, and it could get the din of Avodah Zarah, what it means to say that Avodah Zarah is also Bahanoah, this will be also Bahanoah. Dabamar, as we learned, says the Gemara, Mishtach Labai Shlai, if somebody worships his own home, Asrai, it becomes also Bahanoah as Avodah Zarah. V'isal Kedatach, because says the Gemara, if you're going to consider it, have a mechubur as if it's still attached. So as we just said, the pasuk says, "Aloyheim elaharim," that they put their gods on the mountains. "Aloyheim elaharim," that the mountains cannot be considered their god. This will be relevant for other halachas as well. The halach is, the Gemara often teaches us this halacha, that einish ban al kakos, we can't force somebody to swear over real estate. The Rama says that what's going to be the halacha by Tolish Ulbsoif Chibroi, the example that we just gave, you had a house that you built, you attached to the ground, and he says two opinions, the remark quotes two opinions, is it considered like karka or not? And the Shach says that we see from here that it is considered, that really the halacha is that it's considered mechubar. He says that our Gemara, and asked the Chasam Sofer, he says, what about our Gemara that clearly seems to indicate that it's considered tolish? They want to differentiate between the halachas of Nishbon and the halacha of Avodah Zarah. Says the Maralian Hechshroim. So, of course, we've mentioned this halacha many times in our Shurim. The Torah says, when it speaks about food being susceptible to tumah, the Torah says, "Mikala oichel ashiyochel ashiyovel of mayim v'yitma." And the Gemara teaches us many places in Shas that only food that was exposed to the seven liquids mayim, tal, shemen, yain, dam, cholov, and nevash can be mekabel tumah, and otherwise those foods cannot be mekabel tumah. But then there's another important halacha. The pasuk says, "V'chi yutan mayim al zara v'noflam nos alav tamehu yulachem." And the Gemara debates how to understand that word. Does it mean that you deliberately put on water, or was it enough that you were satisfied that it got wet? And the Gemara says, "Ki yutan ki yitain," that you don't have to deliberately put on water. As long as you're satisfied that it got wet, it's enough to be mukshal kabel tumah. Furthermore, if we had a situation where you were satisfied at the beginning with that water, then the fact that afterwards you're not satisfied is immaterial. Next, one more halacha. The only time food can become mukshal kabel tumah is if it's not attached, but if the water is needed and even satisfactorily you want that water on something which is attached to the ground, then we don't say it's mukshulakab, then we don't say that it's going to be water that I'm interested in that can be maksha food for Kabbalah's tumah. And says the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah says about Linyan Hachshroim, how do we look at something that was detached and then attached? Suggests the Gemara, it's actually a machlokes tanoim. The Tanan, the Mishnah Masechta Mashirim, Perek Dal Mishnah Gimel teaches us, Hakoy for Karel Hakoysen, somebody turns a plate on the wall, Bishril Shetaduach, that he wants the water that goes into the plate should go on to food, Hareza B'chiyutin. That's considered that you did what the Torah says, v'chiyutein mayim, and that will make the food that gets wet from this mukshal kabel tumah. But if you wanted shlo yilkal kaisim, so that was water that you're going to put on just to prevent the water. You put the plate there because you don't want your wall to get wet. And therefore, if that water will now fall on fruit, that fruit will not be considered mukshal kabel tumah. But says the Gemara, first let's understand. He goof akasha, let's try to understand. Amrit b'shvil shetudach, if you want the plate to get washed, hareza b'chiyutin. It seems, ha b'shvil, if your purpose would be shiyudach ha-kaisel, that all you wanted was that the wall should get washed, that would not be considered a case of kiyutan, because the water is considered connected to the ground, and being satisfied with water or liquid that's going to make something mechubel karka wet is not considered fulfillment of this condition. If your entire interest was that the wall should not get wet, so that's not considered that you wanted it to get wet, that you were satisfied with the water. Seemingly, it means if you wanted the wall to be washed, even though the wall is attached to the ground, it is kiyutan. How do we reconcile this? So Amr Belazar, Says Rav Elazar, Tavra, I have no way, says Rav Elazar, of being able to explain this brisa, other than saying Misha Shanazu La Shanazu, that there's a machlokes in this brisa about this halacha. Says Mara, Rav Papa, we need not say that one brisa where there's no indication that there's a machlokes represents two different opinions. Rather, I could say Lo Kulachatana. The entire brice represents the opinion of one Tana. If it's the wall of a cave, that means it's a mechuber, it was always mechuber. There the halacha will be that it's not machsher, because water that's meant to go on to something that was always attached is not considered, even if I'm satisfied with it, wouldn't make a difference. Ha, because of binyan. But if you have a water that wall that was built, so that's a case of tolish upsaif chibroi, and therefore, if you want the water, if you're satisfied with that water, that will be a case where it can be machshir. Vachkomer. And according to this, this is the way to understand. Havkaifakaira, a kais bishvilshut tudach, if somebody puts a plate on the wall because the plate should get wet, hareza b'chuyuta. Then, of course, that's b'chuyutan, because you want the water to go into the plate. The plate is certainly an example of something that's detached. If habishvil shiyudach a kaisel, but if what you want is to wash the wall and the wall is attached, so then it's emzeh b'chuyutan. But says the Gemara, b'med v'amurim, when is that halacha? If it's the wall of a mara, that was always attached. But Bishvil Avav Kais Binyan, if it's the wall that was built, detached, and then attached, Bishvil Shloi Yelka Kaisel, if your entire purpose is just to avoid the wall getting ruined, so it's not a constructive interest in that water, then it's Ein B'chayutan. HaBishvil Shayudah Kaisel, but if you want the wall to get washed, so then that's considered enough of a representation, of a demonstration of interest in that water, satisfaction in the water. And since it's a wall that you weren't interested, that was not always attached, it was first talish l'psoif chibroi, it's going to be considered a case, hareza b'chuyutan. By Rava, continues the Gemara, talish l'psoif, if you have a situation of something that we're learning, that shchita, as we've been learning through our shir, has to be done with something which is talush. So now ask the Gemara, what will be the halacha when we have something which was talush or b'soif chibroi? What will the halacha be as far as using such an instrument for shchita? L'inyan shchita mai. What will be the halacha in such a case? Tashma. Says the Gemara, the brisa that we've learned on Daf Tezvav and Beis teaches us, if there was a stone coming out of a wall, or there was a stick that was growing by itself, the shachet by and used it for shchita, the halacha is shchitasai psula. The shchita is not a valid shchita. And the Gemara is assuming that this is not a wall that was there always. It was a wall that was there, that was attached, and then detached, and then attached. And yet, the Gemara is considering it like something which is attached. So as the Gemara, no. Hachamai Skinen, we're speaking about Kais L'Mara, a wall that's there from ever, the wall of a cave. And Deikanami, and says the Gemara, I'll prove to you that's the way to learn the brisa, the ktani, because if we continue learning the brisa, we'll seek back kana ha'olam ha'elav. So just like the wood grew by itself, it's not something that was attached and then detached and then attached. That's the case of the stone shmamino as well. Says the Gemara, Toshma, the brisa says, not sakim b'kaisel, if somebody put a knife into the wall, v'shokaba, and then use it for shchita, the halacha is shchitasik shera. So we see that the sakin that's attached, detached and attached to the wall is not considered like something that's attached. Says no, you can't bring a raya from that story. Shani sakin deloim bevatalei. A person keeps the sakin independent, and since the person keeps the sakin independent, it's never considered like it's mechuber. And therefore, the Simcha Chadasha says that if we have something and we're not sure if it's considered now part of the wall, that the Gemara at this point is saying if it's part of the wall, it will be considered mechuber. If I don't know, what should I do? So he says, if I don't know, then we should see what is normally the case. And if this is a situation where normally people will keep it there, then it will not have the status of a knife. Otherwise, it will have the status of a knife. Says the Gemara Toshma. Says the Gemara, the Brisa says, Mechubel Kaka, Shchitosei Kshera. And as we learned in Amud Aleph, the way to understand, we explained that Brisa, it's explaining, it's speaking about a case of Tolish Lubsoif Chibroi. So isn't that clearly indication that Tolish Lubsoif Chibroi has the status of Tolish, and that's why it's a good Shchita. Says the Gemara, Shdema Purushka Mefarashlei. Who says that the way to understand the Brisa is that's speaking about two cases? First, the Brisa says, Hashachim Mechubel Kaka is kosher. My Mechubel Kaka. And then the Brisa speaks about what is the definition of Mechubel Kaka, that it's kosher. Only the case of a Sakin, which we just finished explaining, remains independent. And that's why the Lo Mevatalei, and that's why the Halacha is that's going to be a good Shechita. But the actual thing, anything that's coming out of the wall, even if it's Tolish Lubsoif Chibroi, might have the status of Mechubar. Amamar, the Brisa taught us, not Sakin Mekasa, we just learned, if somebody put a Sakin into the wall, Veshachiba, and then he used it for Shechita, the Loch is Shechitasoi Kshera. Amar of Adam Shmuel, Loi Shanu, Nana Gemara describes in detail the act of Shechita. He says, No Shana El Shakin Mamalam, the knife is on top of the neck of the animal, the sharp part of the knife facing the animal, and it's Sava Behema Lamata, and the animal's neck is on the bottom, and then you slit the animal's neck with that knife. But if you have the Sakin Lamata, you have the knife below the neck, the tsava behema lamala, we have to be concerned that the animal's neck is going to press down. And there the aloch is, we have to be concerned, shema yidrois, that if the neck animal is pressing down on the knife, as we've learned, the only time a shechita is a valid shechita is if it's done with a back and forth movement, halacha vayvah, not if there's anything else causing, not pressure, you're pushing the knife down or the animal is pushing the knife down, then the halacha is that it's not going to be considered a valid shechita. Says, ask Tosfos, why does the Gemara say, chashinin shema yidrois? The concern should be that shema doris, says Tosfos, a very bechiddush, that even if the shechit shechted that way with the head of the animal above the knife, but he's telling us that we know for certain, I know for certain that this was an act of shechita, there was no drusa, that the halacha was be that still the shechita would not be a valid shechita. We must be concerned that it happened without you knowing it. The Ra disagrees. The Ra says that if the Shaykh could say unequivocally, Barili Shloi Durasti, I'm confident that it didn't happen, then the halacha will be that it's going to be a valid Shechita. Ask the Gemara, after we learned this din, Vaktani, we learned in the Brisa, Bein Shetzak Lamata V'tzavel Beim Lamala, Bein Shetzak Lamala V'tzavel Beim Lamata. There the Brisa clearly indicates it doesn't make a difference if the neck is on top, the knife is on top. And says the Gemara, Amrazvilat Stodim Ktani. The way to learn the Brisa is speaking in two separate cases. When Saklamat Tzavel Malo Tolush, and it's Tolush, so since the knife is detached, there's no chash of Shemidris. But in the case of Saklamal Tzav Behem Lamata, that when the knife is on top and the neck is on bottom, the Gemara is saying a chiddush that would be considered a valid shechita, even by mechuber. So the Gemara is teaching us that even though, as we've been discussing, that loch is that you're not supposed to use a knife only betolush, says the Gemara, that's only going to be the halacha when the knife is above the animal, when the neck of the animal is above the knife. Otherwise, when betolush, it's always fine. The papa that's lenient is speaking about be'oif the kolol, by a bird. A bird is very light, and since the bird is very light, that's why the halacha is it could be used on the it doesn't make a difference how I'm holding the bird. Either way, the halacha is that that we could do the shechita properly. This discussion that we just had about how the shechita is done is a very, very interesting discussion, halacha lemaisa, because it used to be the way that they shechted was that they just turned the animal over and they shechted the animal. Of course, this is not a great way of doing shechita because you have to be concerned that the animal is not being kept firmly down. And if the animal is not being kept firmly down, you have to be concerned that the shechita won't be a good shechita. Also, more so, you always have to be concerned that the animal will turn over. It's an animal, it's strong, it's big, and run away, and that we don't even want to think about such a situation. So what they used to do was, the next step was that they tied the leg of an animal. They hoisted the animal up on a chain and tied the animal, and the animal was facing upside down. Again, that was also frowned upon from a Tzar Bal Chaim aspect. And also, the animal is not very firm that way. And if the animal is not very firm that way, again, there's a need to be concerned that will that be a valid shechita. Therefore, they created a box. The box is that the animal goes into a box, and there are two versions. One version is that the animal goes into this box, and the animal then is turned over in the box. And after the animal is turned over the box, the shaykh takes the knife and slits the neck of the animal. However, there are many paiskim who have the opinion that you don't have to turn over the neck, because they don't have to turn over the animal, because they are of the opinion that by the animal, when they bring the animal into the box standing, they have a mechanism, they have a piece that lifts up the head of the animal. The concern here is, as the Gemara says, that the neck, the animal will come down on top of the knife, and that will be a drusa. But if the animal's head is restrained in a fashion that it can't go down, so then we don't have to be concerned that there could be a situation of drusa, and therefore that would be a valid shechita. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda, Amar Rav Yitzchak, V'amri Lava Mesnisa Tana, Chamish Dvarim Nemre B'Krumas Shalkana. There are many reasons, things that are said by a piece of wood. Ein Shachtem Ba, we shouldn't use it for shechita, because we have to be concerned that the pieces of wood that are coming out will pierce the simonim, and that will invalidate the shechita. Ein Malim Ba, again, the same reason, we should not use it for bris because of these extra sharp pieces that could chas v'shalom wound the person who's having a bris milah. A mechatchen babasa, we should not use it for cutting meat because there may be some splinters of that wood that will go into the meat, and then when you're eating that meat, it could come and harm you. A mechatchen ba shenayim, one should not use that to clean the teeth, between the teeth, again, because of the splinters. It should not be used for one cleaning themselves when they use the bathroom. And in all these cases, the concern is for these splinters. But ask the Gemara, how could the Braisa say that it may not be used for Shechita? But ask the Gemara, Tanya, have we not learned in the Braisa, because Shechtem ben Mitzah ben Mitzchukus ben Bekrumis Shalkana? And says the Gemara, Amra Papa, the Braisa that allows us to use the piece of wood is talking about Simona, Bismona de Agma. It's talking about smooth pieces of wood that don't have any splinters. And since they don't have any splinters, there's no concern that they're going to, chas v'shalom, make the problems that we just identified. Furthermore, we learn from Mechatech Mabasa. Says the Gemara, Papa Mechatech by Karvi Dagim, he would use it to cut the inside of a fish, the Zogi. They were transparent, and if there was any piece of wood there, you would be able to see. Rabbi Rav Huna, Mechatech by Oifa, he would use it to cut poultry, the rochik. It's very soft, and therefore you don't have to press down the piece of wood. And if you don't have to press down the piece of wood, you need not be concerned that there's going to be splinters going into the meat. It may not be used to clean oneself when they use the bathroom. It says the Gemara, typically, we should say there's a different reason that you can't use it. We learned anything that's flammable, shinav nashus, it could cause serious damage. Says the Gemara, Amra Papa, here we're not talking about cleaning oneself after going to the bathroom. There indeed, the halach is, one should not use something which is flammable. Hacha, we're talking about kinuch pimaka kaminin, we're talking about cleaning a wood. We learned in the Mishnah, hakl shachtim ulaylum shachtim. Ask the Gemara, hakl shachtim, says the Gemara, what does the Mishnah say? That hakl b'shchita, everything has to be slaughtered. You can't eat anything without first slaughtering it. What we learn from here is that a filo oif, even bird, can only be eaten with shechita. The Mishnah continued, said, lo'olam shechitim, says the Gemara, that we're always doing shechita. Amar Abba, it's Rav Shmali. The Tanya and the Gemara teaches us that the pasuk says, ki yach v'ashev es kovulcha, Kesha Diba Loch Vamat Vachal Tabasa, when Rishmal Oimer Leba Kosov Elahatalan Basa Tava, that they went when they came, only when they came into Tetzisrael were they allowed to eat meat just for the sake of eating meat, not only meat that was brought for a carbon. Shevet Chilo, for Cesar Bishmal, before Klai Yisrael came to Tetzisrael, Nesel and Basa Tava, they were not allowed to eat meat just for the sake of eating meat. The only time they could eat meat is that they brought a carbon shlamim, and they had the meat that was given to the owner and his family. However, says Rabbi Shmuel, Mishenichnus Lartz, once they came to Yisrael, and it's difficult for everybody to bring a carbon, so at that point, Hotelahem Basar Tava, at that point, that they were allowed to eat basa, they were basa tava. The question is this a halacha that only by animals, or was it even by birds? That even though birds can be brought as a carbon, but when you bring a bird as a carbon, as we discussed, you only are able to eat the bird with Malika, so that's not a form of Shechita. So it could be that from here we see that you could eat, that bird is different than meat, and even Rabbi Shmuel will agree that bird meat was allowed to be eaten in the Midbar, even if it wasn't brought as a carbon. There's a very interesting verse from the Sar Shalom. The Sar Shalom brings a raya, there's a question by Mlava Malka, must one eat flesh by Mlava Malka? And the Sar Shalom says, our Gemara could be used as a raya that Mlava Malka doesn't have to be fleishiks. Because the Gemara is saying that according to Bishmol, in the Midbar, the only meat that they could eat was meat that was brought as a carbon. Now, Matzoi Shabbos, if that's the case, there was never meat available. Because you can't bring a carbon shlomim on Shabbos. And if you brought a carbon shlomim on Friday, Erev Shabbos, a carbon shlomim is only nechel l'shnei yomim v'lai lechad. So it could be eaten Friday night and Shabbos. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, there was never meat available Motzei Shabbos. An indication that you don't have to eat meat for Lava Malka. Says the Gemara, Achshav Shigalu, V'yachol Shiachsel Esurna Rishon, says the Gemara, says Rabbi, according to Rabbi Shmuel, not only in Golos, we would think that they should come back to the original rule that they're not allowed to have Bosa Tava, Kach Sheninu, that's why our Mishnah teaches us, Loilam Shachtim, that we could eat meat. Once they were allowed to eat meat, when they came to Eretz Yisrael, that remains the halacha forever. Maskla of Yosef, hi, if you're saying that the Mishnah is coming to teach us that even though there are no kabbonis, we could still eat meat, loilam shachtim, that's what the Mishnah means with the words loilam shachtim, then what really the Mishnah should have said, loilam shachtim va'oichlam mebayle, that would be a better way of expressing himself. Void, mikar maitam itzer, at the beginning, why did Rav Shmuel say that you can only eat kosher meat? Mishum davakavila mishkan. Everybody was close to the mishkan. And therefore, the Torah wants that if you want to eat meat, go to the mishkan, bring a carbon shlomim, and you'll have meat. L'b'soif maitama ishtru. And according to that, why when they came to Eretz Yisrael, were they not limited to only eat meat that's kosher? Because it was impossible. They already distanced from the Mishkan. So says the Gemara, Im Kolshkein Hashtab, so certainly Mizmanazer, that we don't have a Mizbeach at all. If in a time when they had a Mizbeach, the halacha is that you can't bring, if they're not close to the Mizbeach, they can't be demanded that we should only eat Kachim. So now there's no option, because there is no Mizbeach, and therefore the halacha is that they can't, that the Rav Shmuel will agree that nowadays you don't have to eat only kach, that you can eat Bosa Tava. The Maram Shik explains the Gemara, Rav Shmuel's opinion as follows. When they, to eat meat, he explains, is something that is a luxury that we have to think about, is a really necessary or permitted. So he says, in the Midbar, when they were getting mon, which the Torah Dosh calls mon lechem abirim, so they didn't eat meat. So he wanted to eat meat, but you had to eat meat that was carbon. However, now that we don't have that mon, and moreover, if a person, says the Maram Shik, eats meat with the proper kavana, whose intention is that the meat will become part of his body. So this began as something from an animal, and now you raised up its level, that it becomes part of a person who could do avodas Hashem, then and only then is there halacha that you're allowed to eat meat.